Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Hello and welcome to the Kevin Jackson Show. Follow us at thekevinjacksonshow.com. I am Charles Love. I'm sitting in for Kevin again. I am the Assistant Executive Director of Seeking Educational Excellence and a contributing writer at City Journal. Yesterday, I spoke about an issue in the NBA with what's going on. I guess I'd have to call it the one positive. This is going to be like a daily occurrence. You can just have segments about what's today's story in empty rhetoric and attacks on the country. Here, I want to talk about Matt Dumba. He's a defenseman for the Minnesota Wild and became, I believe, the first player in the NHL to make a grand statement about BLM. He walked to the center ice with a couple black players. He knelt and he made a statement. In his statement, he was speaking about what's going on, and he said, quote, "During this pandemic, something unexpected but long overdue occurred. In racism appeared on the scoreboard as he said this. The world woke up to the existence of systemic racism." There you have it again. Before I was able to speak to you and sit in for Kevin, if I were here a couple weeks ago, I could be talking about MLB players and their kneeling and draping themselves in black, and obviously what's going on in the NBA. So the sports has taken a turn, of course. You can't avoid politics, but there's a couple of differences and key points I want to make with what Mr. Dumba did here. Part of it is the systemic racism thing, which I'll reference further in another segment, but it's the fact that these players really don't know what they're talking about. Get to that in a minute. But here's another symbol that's interesting that everyone doesn't necessarily pick up on. So this player, I think he's half Filipino, half German. He's out there in the middle of the floor with these black players. So after he does his scripted song and dance about how he's going to change the world because it's all evil, but we keep saying heal the world, but pay closer attention to what happened. They started to play the national anthem, as they do in all these leagues now, because they have Canadian and American teams. They play both anthems. So they played the Star Spangled Banner, and he took a knee. When the song was over, they played the Canadian anthem, and he stood there proud and honored that anthem. He's a Canadian national, so that makes it a little more interesting. But my honest belief is that he would do the same thing if he were American or he were from anywhere else. Because you see, to them who have limited knowledge of actual history, they claim they want to fix in racism, as it said on the scoreboard. But to use logic, based on their actions, apparently racism only exists in America. Racism in America is so bad and so specific and so isolated and so different and meaner than everywhere else in the world that you play the national anthem from two countries, I'm going to take a knee for the American national anthem and I'm going to stand for the other. But I've seen stories and articles about blacks in Canada saying they're discriminated against. So if that's the case, why just America? Now for him and the other players and many of the people protesting, it's not calculated. They just don't know better. They don't know any better, and that's what they hear, and that's what they believe, and that's what they do. They're following the movement. They're following the trend. They're doing what everyone else is doing. But for some, for those people who are putting out the information, this is a specific and deliberate target on the back of America. Those of us who understand the realities of what's going on know that there's racism. No one said it's not. But we know that this country is great for the masses and is the best opportunity to live a wonderful and prosperous life. And that is the best opportunity for anyone who's fortunate enough to be a citizen here or to be born here, regardless of race. So why is it then, if this is true, that they only attack America? You see, this is why we as Seeking Educational Excellence say education is so important. We focus a lot sometimes on specifically on poor people because they obviously need to find a way to get out of poverty, and minorities, often Black people, because if you're talking about discrimination and things that you're not able to do and facing obstacles, the quickest way to overcome those obstacles is to have more money. And the best way to get there for the most people is education. Some people are going to get lucky. Some people win a lottery. Some people can play sports at a level that will make them millions of dollars. But to the average person, the best way to get there is through education. What they're saying implies that that's not enough, that you can't get ahead regardless whether you're educated or not, because the system is stacked against you. And to prove that this information is powerful and the propaganda is strong, you can put millions and hundreds of thousands of examples of this success that is easy and prevalent within the Black community and every other minority community right there out in front of you to see. And people will still say, well, it's so hard to get ahead. There's so few Blacks that are getting ahead. Even Black people who have made it will tell you that this country is racist and I can't make it. It's all because of this. Collectively, people don't understand enough. So now this is going to continue. It's going to go to every sport. It's going to go to every team. Every game is going to start with it. But the question is going to be, it's going to be interesting to watch and see as this continues to go on, will it lose this momentum? Not in the fact that people stop doing it, but will the effect of it wear off? And people are like, huh, he's taking a knee. What's the big deal? Realizing that that's how human nature notices things. So it stood out when Colin did it because it was one guy. When everybody does it, won't have the same effect. We'll see, but this Dumba is really a dummy. Thank you.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
Hey, it's Rick from upstairs.
Yeah, take it seriously. When I play R&B at 1 in the morning, that's me saying, hey, I'm here for you. And I enjoy repetitive bass lines.
I only use expired batteries in my smoke detectors.
Nice, right?
Yeah, upstairs neighbors help people forget their troubles. Give them something else to focus on.
Ooh, want to see how high I can jump?
Progressive can't save you from your upstairs neighbor.
No, wait, let me try again.
But we can save you money when you bundle renters and auto insurance with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
Does Biden have a road to victory in the election this year? You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. Charles Love sitting in. Follow me on Twitter at CDouglasLove3. CDouglasLove3. Check me out on Facebook at Charles Love. So Biden is the presumptive Democrat nominee for president. This is a very weird year. So it's always hard to predict this year, probably more than most. Both the president and Biden have things going for them and things that hurt them. The president needs to understand that for him, outside of COVID, both of those things are him, which could be a good and a bad thing. But the good thing is that that means he has a little more control over it. The bad thing is that it's likely not going to change. He's going to be who he is. But right now, I want to focus primarily on Biden. Biden, I believe, and most of the Democrats actually, had no shot prior to March of 2020. But for COVID, they had no shot. The economy was sailing along. And like Clinton famously said, it's the economy, stupid. People had money in their pockets and jobs. They could shrug off a bunch of other stuff. I honestly think even with George Floyd, that would have not been as big of a hurdle, because I don't think you have the protest in every city if it's not for COVID. Now, that part obviously wasn't intentional. I think it's more a collection of they saw an opportunity and they took it. Because even if they planned some part of it, they could not know down the road that George Floyd would die. But I can tell you, having the pandemic and having him die during it made it a whole lot easier for people to walk the streets in every city for 50 days. That's just obvious. People had to go to work, and they could go to work, and they had money in their pocket. They weren't walking off the job for 50 days. But since I can't work anyway, here you go. But Biden, that put him in a position where he's got a shot now. He's up in all the polls. Believing that would be silly. Doesn't prove, there's no evidence that it's 100% wrong, but the likelihood that it's right is silly. But in my constant move to give them their argument, because they don't think things through, because they are what? Surface thinkers. Let's assume the polls are right. 90 some odd days is a long time. And the Democrat Party is kind of still mulling over the best plans forward. Because you see, there's a little secret that is starting to get out. Biden ain't got all his marbles. So that's only so far that we can play the movie Weekend at Bernie's before people realize there's something up with that Bernie guy. Don't mean Sanders. So with that being in play, part of the plan is, I saw something today on the news that a top Democrat advisor is a huge proponent of just hiding Biden away. We, you know, it all, they had a bumper sticker that said we're riding with Biden. Now it's the changing it to hiding Biden 2020. If we just let Trump do what he's doing, let the pandemic gain more roots and let the government continue to take control, let people get upset about that. Obviously, it's not just the left. The left will do what they do, but people tend to blame the guy at the top. So let people blame Trump for it, and we sit back and we just slide right into office. Now, I can't say this is a bad strategy, because what's the alternative? They're talking about not having debates. I don't know how you can do that. It's almost like, it's funny though. This goes back to how the left, because they have the power and they control the media and they control all sources of information, supposedly straight, air quotes here, straight journalists can say something that makes absolutely no sense and make you think that it's normal and that there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. There's nothing to see here. So for years, they've been harping on Trump's taxes, right? Trump needs to release his taxes. All the other candidates do it. This should disqualify him. It's just not right, and it proves that something must be wrong. You can't break away from tradition. Taxes, taxes, taxes. In fact, they're telling Biden, don't agree to a debate till you see his taxes. Now, these very same anchors are saying, as people talk about Biden not debating, it's like, well, he doesn't have to debate. Shouldn't they be saying, what do you mean he doesn't have to debate, to that Democrat advisor? If you're Don Lemon or whomever else is out there, shouldn't you be saying, no, I'm sorry, don't like Trump, but you got to debate him. You don't get to not debate. The people need to hear what you have to say and see the two of you standing up there next to each other and look at you and decide who is the right guy. But they're not saying that. They're not doing that. What they're saying and what they're doing is saying that, well, you know, if he decides not to debate, that's all right with me. So that's a problem. They're giving him a pass. you know the decks are going to be stacked against you. As Trump has, so I may get into that, not necessarily about him or his approach or his temperament, but it's just that you look at all the things he got going against him. So for conservatives to say Biden has no shot, in the normal world, he wouldn't have to. But if you get enough people to blame Trump for COVID, Trump makes a couple unforced errors. You get this giant push for mail-in ballots. You know who's going to do the heavy cheating there. So you got that on their side. So you get enough stuff there. And then all you need is one more little piece and you're there. But Biden can't debate. He also has this VP pick. That's why that's so important. And which way does he go? It'll be interesting to see. Does he get somebody that's really left? And then he moves back to the middle and say, I'm a moderate. And then you got this person. Or does that scare people to say, yeah, but we don't think you got the faculties to do the job. And we don't want a leftist. So we don't want that person. But if you look at the short list, none of them are moderates. Bass, Duckworth, Harris, or Rice, he's pretty much decided he's going left. So I actually think that that's going to harm him if the Trump campaign addresses it properly. If you don't tack, because you know you're going to have a woman and woman of color, so you can't bring that part up. You just say, do you want this? Just lay it out logically. Do you want X, Y, Z? Go through their records, look at what they believe, and just attack that. And then watch Biden in the last few months point out how he's been moving left, and just ask the people in this pandemic and in this current situation with all the racial tension, is that what they want? We will see. But I don't think it's as a slam dunk for Biden as the media is trying to portray.
The thing about the home and auto bundle from Progressive is that by now you've heard a lot of ads about the home and auto bundle from Progressive. We don't even need the words the home and auto bundle anymore to tell you that you could save big with a ring-tailed lemur from Progressive, or that every hot peach cobbler comes with round-the-clock service and protection. And that's the thing about the goat with magic powers. You've heard a lot of ads about the sushi in Vancouver. See how much you could save with the home and auto, but with the shaman in the jungle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Tyler Perry did an interesting interview with Anderson Cooper recently. You're listening to The Kevin Jackson Show. Follow us at thekevinjacksonshow.com. I'm sitting in, Charles Love, Assistant Executive Director, Seeking Educational Excellence. Follow me on Twitter at cdouglaslove3. I like my Facebook page, Charles Love. So Tyler Perry, the media mogul, did a nice long interview with Anderson Cooper about race in America. And it was a really good interview, mostly because, and I want to go through it nice and slow and play some clips and talk about it because I think it's really important. I talk about my goals and my efforts to help the country and advance conservatism being reaching out to the middle. So I think I have the argument and the understanding both of what the people who I don't agree with politically are saying and what they want, and a way to kind of rationally talk to the ones who are willing to listen. Now, the far left won't listen, but Tyler Perry is an interesting person because he's kind of how I frame the average person on the left and definitely the average person in the black community. So there'll be a lot of things here that you as conservatives won't agree with, a few things you agree with, but what you need to really focus on when I talk about this is the type of person I say you should talk to, because while you may disagree with him, and he may disagree with you. When you say, well, you're wrong, but I think this, he seems to be the type of person that'll say, I see what you're saying, but, or, well, I just disagree with you, but not just write you off as a racist or not be one of those people who don't really care about solving the problem. And that's important. And that's why I want to take this thing apart and listen to it and explain it. So you can go to the other people you know that fit this mold and talk to them. So Anderson Cooper, of course, has a huge skew in his questioning. So I wish someone a little more moderate asked the questions so you can get a even better framework of what Tyler Perry believes. But because Anderson is on the left and Tyler Perry is left-ish, you get all the questions framed through the eyes. Even when he asks a question that makes sense, I think you'll have one. He has to throw a little thing and throw a little partisanship at the end. So you'll hear. So the first clip is him, Anderson Cooper, that is, referencing Attorney General Barr and systemic racism. Let's go to that first clip.
The Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, said he doesn't believe there is systemic racism in police departments. If you were to have a conversation with Barr, what would you want him to hear?
The journey of someone who is black in America, even me sitting here talking to you now at 50 years old, all the things that I've accomplished, all the things that I've overcome, I still get pulled over by police.
So like he said, he's accomplished a lot, he's done a lot, but he still gets pulled over by the police. Now let's start with this one. This is what we commonly hear, what we commonly refer to as a deflection. The question was, what do you think about Attorney General Barr saying that there's no systemic racism in the police department? The answer he got was, well, I tell him to look at the experience of the black man and look at what I've been through. But I would assume that if he talked to him, he would have the ability to give him some examples and talk about what he's been through. And the best example he came up with was, I still get pulled over. So the logical mind says, well, how often are you getting pulled over? Is it every day? Is it every week? Once a year? And what does pullover mean? Because everyone gets pulled over. I mean, by demographic, not every person, but women get pulled over, whites get pulled over, old people get pulled over. So if you're driving at night, do they even really know you're black when you go by until they pull you over? So that's not to say that he's never been pulled over just because he's black. That may happen too. But that doesn't answer the question he was asked there. And see, this is what happens a lot. You know, I have, my wife was telling me she was hanging out with some friends and they were having a good time as a group of women. And they were talking about their experiences and they were going to share their experience. And I think everybody in the group was black. So they were just talking about, yeah, man, it's amazing. All the stuff we still have to deal with today. And they were giving her, and she sits there and she listens, and they were giving examples of the racism they have to deal with on a daily basis. I love the daily basis. Let me explain this to you white people right now. No one, not one person, no one in America experiences racism every day. You probably knew that, but just put that out there. It doesn't happen every day. I mean, how would you even live every day? Oh, I should go find this article that I referenced once on my show that actually said that these teens were dealing with this every day, which is amazing and totally untrue. But it's all your perception. If you think you are, you know, if you think you're being followed, you're being followed. But anyway, so they were given their examples. The one woman got up to tell her story. And she said, yeah, I was at work and I got on the elevator and I'm waiting and it stopped on another floor and a white woman came in and she asked me, can you press 3, please? Did you get that? A white woman got on the elevator and asked her to press a button. And that was her example of racism. See, this is why we need to have these conversations, people. That's a learning point. And it's the way you do it. As a conservative, I don't say, you're stupid. That's, you know, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. You're a fool. Though I may think that. What I say is simply, well, how do you know that that woman asked you to hit the button just because you're black? That's the first question. Next, what are you standing in front of the button? Because I got to tell you, when I heard this story, I told one of my friends and they laughed. I said, then I must be a racist, because I always tell people to hit the button for me. I get in the elevator because I'm one of those weird people that don't like to touch things and stand as far away from the buttons as I can. I look at it like, if you decided to stand in front of the buttons, you took the job of being the button pusher. Hit my floor, please. But anyway, and then even if you have to give them the argument, that woman asked her to press the button because she was black. That still says nothing about what happens every day. But more importantly, what it does say is that you have a pretty charmed life. What do I mean by that? If you are buying into this BLM stuff and you think the country's so bad for black people, and you say, I can attest to that as a black person, it happens to me. And when asked for an example, you rack your brain going through all the racist interactions you deal with on a regular basis. And the first one that popped, you pick the best one. Ooh, I got a goodie. A woman asked me to press a button. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. It's because you really don't have to deal with that much. That's simply the reality of it. And that's the point. The second point here, and the deeper and more important point, is the systemic racism thing. I talk about this a lot and I write about it. You see, I have no problem giving my black people or anyone, any liberal or any person who thinks that racism is a problem, the fact that that's true. There is racism and you can say it's a problem. Where I challenge them is how high they put the level in the importance of that problem. Like, where's that priority on the list of all the problems? Where is it? They want to put it one or two. I don't have it anywhere near that. Probably not even in the top 10. That's one. And the other thing is here in this question, the systemic part. For it to be systemic racism, and that's what you hear. I can just put that on a loop where it goes systemic, systemic, systemic. You just have every leftist radio personality, news anchor, BLM rep, everybody, politician, talking about systemic racism. And we know, those of us with logic anyway, that there was systemic racism. So we know, and the good thing about it, as bad as it was and as ugly as it was, is it gives us a real clear example of what systemic racism is. And like I said, we're going to go over this for a little while because this conversation is so compelling and important, both to debunk and to learn. And since I'm coming up to the break here, I'm going to carry over the Tyler Perry interview and play some other clips, but first explain this, the fallacies of this systemic racism and why that argument doesn't hold and how not pushing back against them hurts the argument and hurts what we're trying to accomplish, because it makes them do these things that they think are trying to help, which really hurts the country, and they're doing it under the guise of fixing systemic racism.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Oh, hi. Okay, guess we should talk about something. Kind of tough to be put on the spot. Not sure what to say. But I know what I'm definitely not talking about. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big!
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
I want to continue on with this Anderson Cooper interview with Tyler Perry. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. Charles Love sitting in. Follow me on Twitter at CDouglasLove3. When I left you, I was talking about systemic racism and the fallacy that entails. We had systemic racism in this country. We know it well. Systemic racism in the system. So that means I'm a black man I'm a doctor. I'm very successful. I'm great at my job. I make a decent living. I like to buy a house in this nice tree-lined neighborhood. Yet, it is against the law for me to own a house in that neighborhood because I'm black. Find me a person that says that's not systemic racism. I would find you a disingenuous person. I mean, it was written in the contracts for your mortgage. It said that you can't be black and you can't sell your house to a black person. Can't be more clear. Jim Crow, legal and systematic racism, unconstitutional, but it was in the system. Now, I need to take a pause here and point out, as a liberty-loving conservative who loves the country and the founding and the and respect and laud those who were genius and brilliant enough to come up with the concept of the separate powers and freedoms of the people and the power coming from the people, as they are under attack today. But I think any logical person can separate the system from those people and from the people thereafter when you talk about systemic racism. So when you say that, well, there you go, Charles, Jim Crow was the law, that proves this country's racist. No, that proves that the people who were in charge were racist and they circumvented and twisted the meaning of the words of the country, both the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. There is nothing in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution that says you can legally separate blacks and tell them they can't buy a house. People just did it anyway. So that's the problem, which is going to tie back to what I say the true problem is in today's society where there is a problem. But Jim Crow was systemic racism, separate water fountains, segregation. You know, you can't go. Now, nobody should be forced to be bused. Nobody should be forced to go to school with others. But the fact that the law said you couldn't do it is in the system. Problem today is that's not the case. You got that money. Look at all these athletes who are taking a knee and all these rappers. Tyler Perry, in this same interview, I don't think I played that clip, talks about, oh, where I just played the clip about getting pulled over and being noticed. He talks about living in a neighborhood where he's getting pulled over because he has a nice car and they don't think he lives there. But that means he lives there because he was able to buy a house there, because there's nothing in the system saying he can't buy a $20 million house outside of you need to have $20 million or the credit and the collateral to get it. So there's a difference between the two. People don't want to draw on the left, don't want to draw that distinction. It's the same. It's all the system. So what you have now is still racism, but you have individuals who are racist. So how do you police that? How do you write legislation to change what's in someone else's mind? You have to win an argument or a debate, or you just have to step right over those people and keep moving. But what you cannot do is say the system is racist. But I go back to Anderson and Tyler. There's more here. Tyler then asked him what he thinks about this movement and is he encouraged now and how does he feel? And let's listen to his response.
Are you optimistic now in a way that you haven't been before when you see the protests that are taking place, when you see the outpouring of people of all colors?
Lately, I've been very, very concerned that the message is being hijacked by some other groups or a political ads and parties that are trying to stop the message of what we're asking for here is police reform. Right. So, yeah, I was, but I'm worried now is because of what I'm seeing.
So there, Tyler Perry's saying that he was optimistic when the movement started, mostly because there were whites and blacks coming together and kind of compared it to when there were images. And I admit that. I said that during the civil rights movement, what brought whites into the fold was seeing the images of what was happening on TV. That's powerful. And that made people feel they had to act. The problem is people look at that and say, see, this is what's happening today. People saw George Floyd. They act. So why do you disagree with that, Charles? I say because what they saw in George Floyd's death is not the same thing they saw on that bridge. You see, it's a difference between one cop to was wrong. It kills someone, it's investigated, and they decide he's wrong and he goes to jail. That's just the system working. There's no perfection. There's always humans involved, so there's going to be errors. Some people are just going to be bad. That's different from a whole system, as we were talking about before. But they like to compare the two and say it's the same. They'll look at it and say, yeah, but what about this other guy? And you can always go and find specific situations here and there and say, look at what happened in that instance. But it's not the same. But the key is that he understands that there is a problem now, that these people are hurting whatever cause they had at the beginning, and that things are moving in a dangerous direction. So there's some understanding of the problem there. But then, of course, Anderson had to change the conversation again. And he asked them, what does he say about what's going on? And does he talk about race to his 5-year-old son? That clip was a little long, but basically he says no, because he knows he'll have to have that conversation sometime, but he's trying to push it as long as he can because of the innocence that's there. And he loves that his son comes home and talks about his friends and never mentioned race at all, ever. But then he goes on to say, but I know I'll have to do it. And as a black man, I know it's going to be painful and it's going to be ugly. And I have to talk about what I've endured. Every person is, you know, William Wallace. They're all talking about what I endured. You know, what you endured was being followed by a cop once and being pulled over. Stop acting like what you endured. He even says in the interview at one point that as successful as he is, think about it. Anderson asked him how he went from his great grandfather being a slave on a plantation to owning the largest movie production studio, and it's based on a Confederate Army base, and how far he's come. Look at that art. And he said great things about it, but then he went on to say, well, without racism, let's see how far I could have been. Wow. You talk about feeling how wonderful you are and saying that, look at, I could take over the world if it weren't for racism. Racism is still holding him back. They can't break from it. And then the final clip I want to play is Anderson asking Tyler Perry about defund the police.
There's a large movement within protest movement of defunding police. Republicans are focusing on that as saying that, you know, the Democrats want to do away with police departments, which I don't think is what defund police means. But when you hear that slogan, what do you think?
Well, when I first heard it, I was troubled by it. I thought, okay, this is going to be weaponized by in this political year. I completely thought that was happening. That's exactly what's happened. It's been weaponized. But I did some research, and what I would challenge people to do is to do research on find out what it means. Now, you got to understand this. I'm not for taking money for the police department. I think we need more police. My studio is in a neighborhood where I think we need police, but we don't need a police that have or that are undertrained. And you got to understand, I have really close friends who are police officers that I love dearly, who are really good people who have been very, very hurt by this as well.
Now, we can take both positives and negatives from this. Anderson Cooper did what Anderson Cooper would do and made it negative. Notice how they both had to throw in, well, he had to throw in, the Republicans wanted to do this with it. And even Tyler said, some political parties want to weaponize it. What party do you think he means? But he said that he was troubled by it, but he was troubled by it because political parties may weaponize it, but not troubled by it because it's dangerous to the community. Why didn't he say that? But I honestly think he believes that, but he should have said that instead of wasting my time saying I was troubled when I heard it the first time. Cause I'm like, no, the Republicans are going to weaponize it. What he should have said, I was troubled because it won't work. We need policing, and the police are not what's causing the problem in the community. But he did go on to say he has police officers who are friends. He doesn't want them attacked. He's against anything that's wrong. Shooting black on black crime is wrong. Police shootings are wrong. But then he said Rayshard Brooks was wrong. Not necessarily. So you get that mix. I never said that I agree with him on everything. I think it's important to listen to him because someone like that, I truly believe that will listen to our message. They are ill-informed, even as rich and powerful as he is, he's been skewed and told certain things that have been so deeply believed that it takes multiple hearing things multiple times and seeing it yourself to know it's not true. But there's potential there, and these are the people that I try to reach. So it's good that he doesn't want to defund the police. He wants more money, and we should take that as a win.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.